glad Rabbi Sonnenschein invited me. This is beautiful. I'm here at Maariv. I didn't know I could come up after for such good food. You know, every Thursday night I can come up here for such great food. It's Kabbalah. So as Rabbi Sonnenschein mentioned, it was quite the week. I'd like to tell you my feeling after this week. You know, Thursday, when Rabbi Sonnenschein asked me to speak, I'll tell you, the only chiddush that I accepted was that it was Thursday night. And you know, everybody has a weekend. You know, I'm saying, you guys, I'm not a shul rav. Some people here in this yeshiva don't ever take a break. You know, like some of our rabbanim, and I don't know how they do it. And kol hakavod to them, you know, but that's... So my weekend starts on Thursday afternoon after shir. That's when my weekend starts, you understand? So when he asked me to speak Thursday night, I said, okay, I'll extend the work week, you know, to now. This is an extension. And as I end the week, especially after such a week, I feel like, you'll forgive me for saying this, I don't want to talk about the rally anymore. I don't want to talk about going to the rally, and I don't want to talk about finding the right way to go to the rally, which we spoke about, and it's all true. I really just want to go learn something. That's really just what I want to do. I just want to not, you know, like, that's what I want to be able to do now. And I think it's good at the end of the week, because that's the end of the parsha. The whole parsha, for those of you who are on my bus, you heard me talk about, you know, that. It's like Yaakov figuring out with Esav and like how to interact with the world and all that. But then there's the end of the parsha. It's not even at the end of the parsha. It's the end of the Rashi on the parsha. Right? It's the Rashi in this week's parsha that tells us, if you do the math, says that Yaakov has missing years in his chronological timeline. We know that he was 63 when this happened. Because Yitzchak was 123, so that makes Yaakov 63. And working back from the other direction, we know that when Yaakov came down to Yosef in Mitzrayim, he was 130 years old. And at that time, Yosef, I'll fast forward, was 39, which means Yosef was born when Yaakov was 91. And that was 14 years after Yaakov came to the house of Lavan. So that means Yaakov came to the house of Lavan at 77. So there's a missing gap of 63 to 77. And we, of course, all know where Yaakov Avinu was. Yaakov was in Yeshiva Hashem Ve'ever. We famously know at the beginning of next week's parasha, he didn't sleep the whole time he was in Yeshiva Hashem Ve'ever. And I had a thought about this Rashi. I mean, I've heard this Rashi. You've all heard this Rashi 10 times. I've heard this Rashi 40 or 50 or how many times. And I had the following question. And I'm going to suggest something. I don't know. I even looked in the Gemara. It wasn't clear to me. Did Yaakov Avinu know that he was going for 14 years? Was he planning on going for 14 years? Or did he just go for his man and then he ended up staying 14 years? I don't really know the answer. The Gemara uses the terminology nitman. He like was hidden away for 14 years. That doesn't tell me though if he meant to go for 14 years or he meant to go for a little bit and he stayed. You know, we've seen stranger things happen to yeshiva guys. You know, he went to Eretz Yisrael for Shana Aleph. And, you know, I have friends who are still there. And I have a son who learns in the Mir now. He's learning in a certain Chabura. He tells me, oh, I met, whatever his name is, Yaakov. I met your friend Yaakov. I said, well, he's still there in the Mir. He's my age. You know, he never left. Did he plan on going for 30 years? Or, you know, or did he plan on going for 1 year and we'll try a second and we'll try a third and like how did it go? I really don't have an answer to this question. I'll give you something to think about. If you have any rayas, I'm open to hearing them. But I want to tell something that I said a little bit in Shir this week. And it came out, it wasn't part of Shir, and it wasn't part of the curriculum, if you will. It wasn't part of Kiddushin. But we were learning. And as I was learning, I said to the guys, I said, okay, guys, this Gemara that we just learned, we're learning Davav, all the languages, the Yvailus, the various languages, can you say this, can you say that? I said, you know, I called it a pick-me-up Gemara. You know, you get a little pick-me-up. Some people think a pick-me-up is like a coffee, you know? That's a pick-me-up. I called it a pick-me-up Gemara. Why is it a pick-me-up Gemara? I said, because it's not such a hard Gemara to read. I said, you can go down after Shir, you can go look in the Gemara, and you can read the Amud. You should be able to read most of the Amud by yourself. And, you know. And I said, that's a pick-me-up. Why is that a pick-me-up? Because here is a klal for Limud HaTorah, but it's not for Limud HaTorah. It's for, really, this is for everything. Some things, many things on Limud HaTorah are very exclusive to Limud HaTorah. This is a life lesson on its own, which is, we thrive on success. We have to have success. We have to achieve. If we don't achieve, then we will get dejected. And I gave a mashal. And you'll forgive me, I know this probably doesn't apply to anybody here, but maybe once upon a time, like me, you were a kid also. I hope it's only when you were a kid. But I gave a video game mashal. I said, you know, in many video games, it's like there's levels. You have to get to the level. You have to get through the level. And sometimes you get to this part in the game. To date myself, it was Super Mario Brothers, okay? That's how old I am, yeah? That was like the big game. Super Mario Brothers. And it came, and you knew you couldn't get past this part. And no matter how many lives you had when you got there, you were just going to like jump, and you would look like you were going to get to the top of the wall, and then you wouldn't, and you'd slide down. And then again, you get the next life, you get to, yeah, and there you go, up, and down. And you know what? The people who make video games, they know. So it must be not. But after a certain point, you're like, I can't play this. I'm not going to do this again. It's a video. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to try the same exact thing again and just and miss. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to call my friend. I'm going to call the company. I'm going to, you know... And nowadays, you go on whatever, you know, website, you find out how to play the game. I'm going to do something about this. I can't just keep going back and doing this again. Because you're going to get dejected. And you're not going to have anything to show for it. And the same thing happens, chas v'shalom, if we learn without successes. If we don't come out with a... something new from a Seder or from a day or from a week. If I don't have something that I can say I put under my belt, that's going to be like, you know, the next week when I'm coming back for Sunday, my weekend starts on Thursday, but it ends on Sunday morning. That's my weekend, yeah. When I come back on Sunday morning, I'm going to do it again. But how many times am I going to do it without some real tangible form of success and keep coming back? So it's something we have to really keep in mind in our Limud HaTorah. We have to walk away with something. How do we walk away with something? We have to walk away with something like we have to do chazara. We have to write things down. Yeah, imagine if every day, at the end of the day, you took an index card. I don't do this, so I can't be mechayev you to do it, but imagine. Yeah, imagine at the end of the day, you took an index card and you wrote down, this is what I learned, or at the end of Seder, you spent 5 minutes going over with your chavrusa. What did we cover today? What did we accomplish here? Right? So that's a very critical thing in Limud HaTorah. And then, it was nisaira to me, the part two of the video game mashal. Part two of the video game mashal was the following. What happens when you figure it out, and you get there, and you finish level 8.2? Yeah? And now there's a new board. Yeah, you can all envision this, right? Whatever game you're holding in, yeah? You can all envision the new board. There's a new board, 8.3. And you're about to start. And your mother says, time for dinner. Mom, 5 minutes, Mom. 5 minutes, I'll be down soon. Why? Because you're so excited. You're not even excited for 8.3. You finished 8.2. And now that you finished 8.2, you have to know what's next. You want to know what's next. Any person who says, oh yeah, I finished 8.2, I'll call it a day. I'm not going to check out the next level. You're not going to check out the next level? So when you have that success, you are absolutely spurred on to the next thing. Absolutely spurred on to it. You have to have it. It could very well be that's really the pshat. That would be the pshat. I don't really know the emes. I don't know if Yaakov Avinu went to go for 14 years or went to go for a day and then he ended up staying for 14 years. I don't know which one it was. But if it's that he went for a day and decided to stay for 14 years, that's how it happened. He went and he was matzliach. Really? That was amazing. Oh, that was only Mishnah Aleph? That was only the first perek? What's in the second perek? Time to go. No, it's not time to go. I have to see the second parak. I have to start it. How could I not? And then you got that, and I understood it. And then, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. This is such lahavdala. I mean, lahavdala, more than elef alfei havdalos to a video game, but there's. This is how Torah works. Torah works the same way. One thing everybody knows about the video people and the game people is they definitely know psychology of people. Yeah, that they know for sure. They know how much dopamine you need, you know, to get, oh, we got you the dopamine, so now you can go on to the next thing, right? That they all know. And so we have to take that in Torah. We have to take that and we have to go with that. And take something, accomplish it, and then move on to the next thing. Now, I want to share something a little bit sad, but uplifting. It's sad, but it's extremely uplifting. This evening, I went on a very unusual Shiva call. I went to pay a shiva call by a friend of mine who lost his daughter. This is an old friend. I literally haven't spoken to him in probably 8 or 10 years, but I saw somewhere that this, you know, somebody said, one of the yeshivas we learned in sent an email that he was sitting shiva, so I went. And he lost his daughter. She was 19 years old. She was ill for 3 years. She had yena machla. For the last year, she was literally like, you know, in intensive care, but in their house. They had like a little, they set up a room to basically be like, you know, round the clock. And she was Nifteris. They had, and I took one. Her name was Esti. Literally, her parents are sitting shiva for her tonight, okay? So they're getting up tomorrow in the afternoon. Here it says, you can achieve anything you want to. Signed, Esti. This is a it's like a diary. It's diary journals. And I hope that Esti will not mind that I'm sharing this. The family was excited giving this out. And obviously, it should be L'ilui Nishmasa. You know, her father's name is Yeshua Mordechai. I don't know her full name. I think it's just Esti, but I'm not sure. And here goes. Here is her diary. And I really want to get to one point. I took it because I have a half minute to learn this with my shir in Musa. Okay? This was written, by the way. It makes it more impressive, I think. They had two things there. They had one thing that was written when after she knew she was sick. This was written before she was sick. Clearly not a regular. A Beis Yaakov girl. Beis Yaakov high school girl. I'm just going to give you the titles. What I would like to improve in. Tefillah and Lashon Hara. Where I'm holding now. She like assesses where she's holding. I try to say everything with kavana, especially Shema and Shema Nesra. I don't always have as much kavana by Brachos and Psukei de Zimra. Where do I want to be? I'm just doing the tefillah part because I'd like to easily have kavana throughout davening. So here's a person, 16-year-old girl, who's no longer with us, sadly, who said, you know, this is where I am and that's where I want to be. Why is it important to work on this? Why is it important to work on tefillah? He says, because Hashem gave us, I'll paraphrase, Hashem gave us an unbelievable gift, a great opportunity to praise Him and ask from Him. How could I not work on tefillah? And then she asks the question that if anybody is taking seriously what I'm saying tonight, this is the question you have to ask yourself. What's the first step to get to my goal? I already knew what was coming. I was literally crying when I read this. I will try to have kavana and focus on each word in Elokai. I guess in Elokai Nitzar. That's where she picked she's starting. Why did she start the beginning? She said, I don't know. That's where she picked she's starting. She's starting from Elokai. And then, one more. I can't get over it. A time I will check myself to see if I need to increase or decrease my tiny baby steps. You know what the time is? Motzei Shabbos, before I change out of my Shabbos outfit. Godless. That happens every week. You can't miss that. It's an every week occurrence. That's when I'm going to sit down. The rest of this, pages. You know, most of us have once maybe tried to write down something. She did it for a whole year. The first one starts on October 3rd, 2019. The last entry is September 15th, 2020. I don't think it was every day. I think it was more like weekly or every now and then. Seems like pretty weekly. There are more extraordinary things in here. But to what we're talking about tonight, when we take one baby step, and that baby step is something that we own it. It's ours in Limud HaTorah. I don't know how to explain it. Any amount is sufficient. Any amount is sufficient. We know the Rosh Yeshiva wants everybody to finish Kedushin. Yeah? You can't finish Kedushin tomorrow. You can't. You can learn one Amud tomorrow. And you can review that Amud. And if you can't learn Amud, you can learn 10 lines. And you can learn it, and you can go over it until you know it. Make sure it's a success. The second it starts feeling like what Esti writes, what a shame that would be if we waste that time of davening by just mumbling the words. It's not just I went to the Beis Medrash, I had Seder, I had to learn then. walk out with some amount of Torah that you know, and now, okay, now I'm going on to the next level. And you won't be able to stop. You won't be able to stop. Because you'll be having successes. And if you'll be having successes, you'll continue further and further and further. And 1 year of Beis Medrash might soon turn into 14. Who knows? Who knows? But even if it doesn't, if that turns into a daf, a perek, a mishnah, a gemara, whatever it turns into, if it turns into that, then you'll have these successes and you'll be able to work on these baby steps. And that's how we can attack in a strong way to grow ourselves in Torah. We did our Hashtadlis this week, and that, let's focus on our primary goal. Our primary goal while we're in yeshiva, of course, is to sit and learn Torah, to grow in our Torah, to create a passion for Torah that will last a lifetime. And the passion comes from the sense of accomplishment that comes together with it.